Our text this morning is James 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, we've been looking at our pilgrimage. Short time that I've been with you, we saw at the beginning that we are sons and daughters of God, chosen by Him from eternity, and that experientially we know ourselves as His children, who now commit our way to the Lord, trusting in Him. James very practically looks at that pilgrimage, noticing that there's going to be trials in our life. And so the first lesson that James wants to bring out in this epistle to God's people is that we need patience in the midst of the trials of our faith. God doesn't tempt us. We're tempted by our own sinful flesh, but God uses those temptations to try us. It's for our good, and we need to be patient through those trials. Now there's a second lesson. How? How when our way is difficult? When there's obstacles, how are we going to be patient? We need wisdom for that. Where is that wisdom to be found? Why do we so desperately need that wisdom? How do we ask for it? And how will God give it? So our theme is wisdom through prayer. Notice with me what is needed. Our need to ask for it. And how God will give this wisdom to us. We need wisdom. The word means discernment. The word means to judge rightly. That what the word is talking about is application. How do we take the things that we know now and apply it to our lives so that we do the right thing in the right way? We need that kind of application, lest ours be a dead orthodoxy. And sad to say, there is much dead orthodoxy. That is, people go through the motions on Sunday, folding their hands and closing their eyes and singing some songs, and then Monday through Saturday, they act like they're their own, and they live for themselves. What foolish people. No, not dead orthodoxy, not just intellectual knowledge, not just going through the motions of religion on Sunday and then forgetting about it Monday through Saturday. But taking our knowledge of God and of His will and of His way and then applying it by His grace to our walk each day of our life. So wisdom is not to be confused with intellectual knowledge. There are those who can recite passages of Scripture. They know the chapter and the verse. They are those who know their doctrine. But we're not talking about just knowing facts. Knowing facts is important. spiritual knowledge is very important. We looked at that earlier when we looked at commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him. Well, who do we trust in? Not someone that we don't know, but we trust. We place our whole life in the one that we know is able to hold us and lead us and guide us and preserve our way. Knowledge is important, but wisdom is not to be confused with knowledge. Wisdom is to know the will of God and possess the skill now to live out in harmony with that will of God. To say, I am a child of God, I'm a son and a daughter of God, and Father knows best for me, and I obey Him. Wisdom is the idea of ordering our lives step by step to the revealed will of God. There are those who would say, to worship God means to let go and let God. That's fatalism. Of course, God in His sovereignty directs our steps, but we want to be in harmony with His will. Oh, sheep, some of the dumbest animals around. You saw that here in your land during the past winter when some 50,000 of them died in the cold. Sheep need to be led. For they wander away, they are foolish, they can't find their own food. We are the sheep of God's pasture. So not let go, let God. Yes, God directs our steps, but now we, knowing that God is in control, what God does is good. We give ourselves, we roll ourselves in our way unto Him. We trust in Him. Ordering our lives according to the will of God. Jesus uses in Matthew 7 two illustrations of wise and foolish people. All the folks knew that it is good to build upon a strong foundation. But not everyone heeds that knowledge. The wise man heeds that knowledge that you need a firm foundation, and so he builds his house upon a rock. Because he knows that the rains are going to come down, as they have many times this past week, and unless there's a firm foundation, that whole house is going to fall flat. But the foolish man, while he knows that the rains are going to come down, that there will be floods, he doesn't heed it. He says, this is a good place to build. I want to build my house here. In America, we have many foolish people building in floodplains. Oh, it's not going to happen to me, they say. And so they build in that area of the river, which is very low, thinking it's not going to happen, and when the rains came, they were flooded. Or others building upon a fault line in California. Or others building right in the area where the tornadoes whirl through. They are foolish because they don't act upon the knowledge that they have that there are floods. Or there are hurricanes, or there are earthquakes. Or Jesus uses another illustration. The wise and the foolish virgins. They know that the bridegroom is coming, and that he's coming quickly. But with that knowledge, five of them prepare for the coming. Five do not prepare. And sadly to say, in that illustration, all 10 virgins are found sleeping when the bridegroom comes. Let us not be sleeping, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The bridegroom is coming, and those who are wise take that knowledge and they apply it so that they are watching and waiting in readiness for His coming. So wisdom is the application, the discernment, so that we take what we know, what God has revealed about himself and his will, and apply it to our lives by God's grace. Now what we need is the wisdom of God. That's what our text says. If any of you lack wisdom, he's talking about the wisdom of God. So we need to distinguish here, don't we, between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, a distinction that we find in the Scriptures. Oh, there is a wisdom of man. They are caring about their earthly life. How will I get ahead? How will I be liked by other people? Think of Absalom. He was very wise. If I give the people what they want when they come to visit me, when I shake my head in sorrow at, yes, my father David seems to be doing some foolish things at times in his life, then they'll like me. There is a wisdom of man, which we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 19, is really foolishness. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? A Plato or a Socrates may accumulate a vast amount of knowledge, but until one bows a humble reverence before the sovereign God, he knows nothing. Oh, the knowledgeable scientists. They can discover many mysteries about the world and how to go to the moon and how to plumb up the earth for all its riches. But we're fools because they say man is in charge. We will determine what is the truth of creation. We'll tell the world all about it. Foolishness. Where is wisdom to be found? Job asked that question. Where is wisdom to be found? Says Job in Job 28. And where is the place of understanding? And in the next verses he says, not found in man. Not found in the land of the living, not in the depths of the sea. It cannot be bought with gold or silver or precious stones. No matter what university you want to go to, you can't buy wisdom. Job 28, verse 20, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? It is hid from the eyes of all living. And then verse 23, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Verse 28, and unto man he saith, behold, the fear of God, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Yes, we have to go to God. God is wise and good. And that wisdom that the writer of Proverbs talks about is personified in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's wisdom for us. Or as we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, Christ is made of God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God is wisdom. God's will, God's way is wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. Why? Why is God to be our wisdom? Because God in his word reveals himself to be the all-wise God. That's one of his attributes, boys and girls. One of his characteristics. He is wise. And so God in his infinite wisdom and perfect wisdom determined the end or the goal of all things. And what is that end? What is God's will? That he will be glorified. He will be glorified in Christ Jesus, and he will be glorified in the church that he has given to Christ Jesus. And God has determined that all things that take place in history, both small things and great things, will work for that end, for that glory of Himself. Everything in your life, the pleasant, but also the very not pleasant, will work to the glory of God in our salvation in Christ Jesus. That's the point of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1. We read in Colossians 1, verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He's the head of the body, the church. That's the wisdom of God. God's going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified in Christ Jesus, who is the firstborn of every creature. Everything in your and my life is directed by God to that end, to that purpose. So why do we need now this wisdom? You'll notice in our text, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any man lack wisdom, now that question, that statement there is not a statement that infers doubt, but it's a supposition. In other words, you could translate this verse, since we lack wisdom. Since we lack wisdom, look away from yourself. Look to God. We are so foolish and sinful. When God told the people of Israel in the wilderness, you will collect manna, only enough for each day, 6 days of the week, there were those who said, no, I'm going to get more for myself. And when the manna came down, the 6 days of the week, when God says, collect extra on Friday because there will be none on the Sabbath day, there were those who said, nah, it comes down every day of the week. I don't have to get extra on Friday. Saturday we'll have plenty. We are so foolish and sinful, we shake our heads at what God reveals. We are so foolish and sinful so that when our way is difficult, we say, I want out. I quit. I serve God for nothing, says the psalmist in Psalm 73. We need wisdom in our temptations. When the Satan suggests to do this or that and our sinful flesh is inclined to agree with him, we need wisdom so that we take the knowledge of God when God says, thou shalt not, and we apply it in the midst of that temptation so that we do God's will. Oh, Eve, what were you thinking? God said, thou shalt not eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely know and die. Eve wasn't making a mistake. Eve was not clueless. She had heard the word of God, but she didn't apply it now to her life. Neither did Adam. We need wisdom, not only when we're tempted, but we need wisdom when our life is made difficult. When we lose our job. When we have to give up some things in order to be a part of the church. So that we count it joy when we are tried rather than becoming impatient or bitter or angry. We need wisdom so that we can be patient in temptations or trials. For it's by wisdom, God's wisdom, that we will see God's gracious direction in our lives. We will be able to say, I was tried and it was for my profit. It was for my benefit. Because He is molding me more and more after His image. Cheerful patience is a holy art. It doesn't come naturally. The Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content. If any man lack wisdom, we all do. We all do. Let him ask of God. Who shall he ask? We must ask of God. Proverbs 2 verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom. Ask of God. Be wary of all kinds of advisors today. O Rehoboam, young king of God's people, he asked advice. He asked advice of the older men. These people want me to get a little more lenient on taxes. They say my father taxed them rather heavily. What shall I do? The old men gave good advice. But then Rehoboam went to the young advisors, and the young advisor says, don't listen to the people. You're a king. You tell them, if my father's hand was heavy, my hand is going to be much heavier. I'm king. Oh, be wary of what advisors we have. What shall I do if my marriage gets difficult? If I get tired of my wife? Shall I put up with her, or should she put up with me? And advisors in the world say, no, God doesn't want your life to be unhappy. Get rid of the old one and get a new one. Be wary of advisors. How did this world come into being? How was Adam made? What is the nature of man's troubles in this world? And sadly to say, even within the church, in the Reformed church, there are new advisors and they say, out with the Word of God. Listen to the scientists. We're evolving. We're becoming better and better. The world is many years old. The problem of man isn't sin. It's just troubles in life. Believe in yourself. Be wary of advisors. There's many out there. Not doing what the world tells us to do. Not doing what's best in our own eyes. But remember, when I came, I took that sermon, predestined unto adoption. We are sons and daughters. Ask your Father, for He knows best. He has made you. He has redeemed you. And if you want to understand what God's will is for your life, it is of utmost importance that you be right with the Lord yourself. Proverbs 3, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and He shall direct thy paths. That's not dead orthodoxy. That's not saying, well, the Bible says one thing, but I think this, and the world says this. How many today in the church world say, well, the Bible's outdated? Oh, the Bible says this and that about a home. The Bible says this or that about marriage. The Bible says this or that about men living with men. But that's outdated today. We don't have to follow that any longer. Acknowledge the Lord, and He will direct thy paths. Solomon, when he was going to be, when he was made king, recognized the difficulty of ruling God's people who are sheep, not the brightest animals around. And Solomon says, I can't do it. I can't do it in my own strength. Oh, what a blessing that is when a person recognizes that. And so when the Lord asked him, ask of me anything that you want in the world. Well, to be great, one of the great kings of the earth, what would he ask? And Solomon says, Lord, you have made me a king over this people. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, or we said we can translate that, since we all of ourselves lack wisdom because of sin, ask of God. Now the word that is used in our text, ask of God, really means demand. Demand wisdom of God. Solomon had every right to demand that. God said, ask of me whatever you will. You and I have the right to demand that of God. Why? Because first of all, He's our Father. He has made us His sons and daughters. So we may demand it of our Father, of God, because He is our Father. And second of all, we may demand it of Him because that is our right as children through Jesus Christ. You ask, what things may I demand of God? Not the things of our flesh. Not that I get rich. Not that I may have more than others. Not that other people will like me. But you and I have the right to demand whatever God has promised. He has made those promises. Demand those promises. Here in this second point of James, he begins patience through trials. Now there's wisdom in the way of prayer. We're really given another little teaching all about praying. How do we pray? Demand what God promises in His Word. Demand it with urgency. Urgency arising out of needs. Solomon looked at that vast people. People who erred many, many times in the past. Solomon would know the history of Moses, what a difficult business it was ruling God's people. And out of his great need, he's a young man put in the position of king. He cries out to God, give me wisdom. Now let's put it to ours. You and I living in this world as God's sons and daughters. A wicked world that would seduce us away from Him. Our sinful flesh that is foolish and sinful. The devil who's going about like a roaring lion. What great need, as little children we say, Father in heaven, give me, please give me, I demand, give me wisdom. And the very tense that is used here, let him ask, has the idea of let him keep on asking. Let him keep on demanding. In other words, we have the teaching here of constancy in our prayer. We are not only to ask for wisdom once in a while on a great crisis situation, but continually, day after day after day, in the morning when you get out of your bed. Lord, here I am, a weak, sinful child. I'm going to be confronted with all kinds of trials, temptations, difficulties. Give me wisdom for today to walk in the way of thy commandments. Is that your persistent request? For Jesus says something about persistence, doesn't it? Even as that wicked judge, who really didn't care about justice, finally gives in to that widow because she keeps on hounding him day after day after day. How much more will your heavenly Father give you what you need and what I need when we constantly, as his children, bombard his throne with our humble petitions? Give me wisdom. Praying without ceasing. Our whole life has to be that life of persistent prayer. Oh, if only Solomon would have kept on praying that. For you and I know his life, don't we? The lives of the saints are held out in front of us. That young man who was able to have wisdom to make very good decisions in the lives of others, which was the real mother of that little child. When it came to his own life there for a long time, he seemed to have been in the dark. Anyone knows that one woman is enough for a wife, enough troubles and trials in marriage. And what does Solomon have? 300 wives and another 700 concubines. What was he thinking? Worshipping all their gods when he knew there was the one only God. Oh, Solomon, not only once in your life when you're young, but every day and as we get older, asking God for wisdom to apply what we know of God and of His will to our path through life. Ask of God. Be very specific in your prayer life. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me a listening ear and a willing heart. Ask of God because He is the giving God in Christ Jesus. He will give us all things, and He will give us then also wisdom. Romans 8, verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Do you think it's too much for God to give you wisdom? He gave you His own Son. Look to Him. Trust in Him. James says, but let him ask, verse 6, in faith, not wavering. We don't come to God in our prayers saying, well, I'll throw it before God. It doesn't hurt to ask. There are those people today whom we might ask for if we're maybe short of money. We say, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, I can ask this person, I can ask for that person, I can ask that person. Asking won't hurt any. It might hurt my pride, but you know, I can ask even if they say no. That's not the way we come in prayer to our God. Doubting. But rather trusting. Believing, praying in the attitude of faith. Not going back and forth. Maybe he will, maybe he will not. There's a little story about a person in love, right? They take a flower and they pick the different petals off. He loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Not really sure. In our prayers, constancy. He is my God. He is my Father in Christ Jesus. His will is good. And He says, ask of me and I will give you wisdom. Trusting in Him. Can you think of any more pathetic person than a person straddling a fence? One foot in the church and one foot in the world and saying, well, for some things I'm going to trust God, and for other things I trust the world. trusting only in the Lord. We may not be unstable. Yes, some pictures are given here, aren't they? For he that wavereth, a person trying to straddle a fence, live in two different worlds, the church world and then the world of sin, is going to be like, verse 6, those on a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Some of us this morning know what it is to be on a sea with big waves and the wind blowing. Kind of unsettles your stomach. You're kind of tossed back and forth as the boat goes. Don't be in your spiritual walk, don't be in your prayer life like that person on the boat shifted back and forth, seasick. Stand firmly. What? Stand firmly on God's word. Jesus says, ask and you will receive. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. Pray. Pray for wisdom. And God will give that wisdom. That's the promise. If any of you lack wisdom, or since we lack wisdom, let us ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. There is the incentive in our asking of God. The very nature of God and the nature of his promises. The nature of God and the nature of his promises. He will not give half-heartedly. He will not give stingingly, but he gives liberally. Look at your life. Hasn't he given you things very liberally and me liberally? He's given us his own Son, Jesus Christ. Will he not give us all things in Christ Jesus, including this wisdom? Look at the cross. For God so loved, he gave his only begotten Son. God gives liberally. We don't have to earn it. We surely don't deserve it. But God gives all these spiritual blessings out of his abundant mercy, and he will give wisdom to you and to me. And he gives it through means. We ask of God wisdom, and then we don't just sit back in the chair and say, okay, now it's going to all of a sudden dawn upon me. He gives this gift through the means of prayer. That's something that each one of us have to teach our children, don't we? At least I do not, never did want my children just to go to the cupboards and help themselves to whatever they want. We want to give them whatever they need, but they need to come and ask, Dad or Mom, may I have this? And then we'll determine whether it's good or bad for them. God wants us to ask. We are his children. We're to look to him. Father, give me. And we read in our text, he gives to all, and now in our translation here it's men, liberally, but you'll see in your Bibles that men is in italics. In other words, it really doesn't belong there. He gives to all liberally. Who is this all? Does not mean to every person. If we would look out in the world, we would see that's the case. He gives in varying amounts. There are those who are starving on the streets or in different poor countries. So also here, It doesn't mean all individually, but it means he will give to all his children, whatever nationality or country or place that they live, whether they be Jew or Greek or Gentile, whether they be low or high degree, whether they be rich or whether they be poor, whether they be male or whether they be female, he will give to all his children liberally those who earnestly ask him, look to him, depend upon him. And he does it through a means. He does it by the Word. There's not new revelations. I used to be a part of a denomination many years ago where all of a sudden they decided things were going to change. God's Word says women may not be office bearers in the church, yet they wanted women to be office bearers. And so what did they say? No, Scripture doesn't permit it. But the Holy Spirit is leading us on, and the Holy Spirit is revealing to us today, whereas in olden time women couldn't be office bearers, now today women are educated, and therefore women can be officers in the church. The Spirit said it to them. The Spirit is not double-tongued. The Spirit doesn't say one thing at one time, no, and then say later on, yes. God gives wisdom. Remember what wisdom is. Applying the Word or the will of God. God gives wisdom through His Word. He says, this is my will. This is my commandment. This is the way you are to live. And the way we learn wisdom, we get wisdom, is by studying that Word and applying it. That Word which is read, that Word which is preached from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. That's why we need to be here. In my first church, I had a lady who said, well, I really don't have to come to church anymore. She says, I know what God's Word says. I've been taught as a girl. And so I can better on Sundays, instead of coming to church, I'm already saved, I could better have coffee with my neighbor and talk with my neighbor about the Word of God. Foolish lady. All of us are sinful, foolish children who continually need to hear our Father in heaven instruct us in the way that we must go. We need to continue to grow in our knowledge and then the application of that knowledge. That's why we need to continue coming to God's Word, young and old, to hear God's Word and be given God's wisdom how we are to live for Him. God gives that wisdom from godly companions. It was not good for Adam to be alone, so God gave him a help meet for him. It is not good for any one of us to stand all alone in our life and say, I can serve God at home. We need one another. We need the body of Jesus Christ so that godly companions can hold hands with us and encourage us when the way gets difficult. Admonish us when our feet are wayward, and together be instructed in Scriptures to understand them. We need one another as a church. So we need to come from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. We need to be members of His church to receive that Word that is preached and to be a part of that communion of saints that walk together in the light of God's Word. God gives liberally. That's one of the incentives. Pray. Ask God for wisdom, and then negatively, He upbraideth not. So two reasons are given as incentives why to pray for this wisdom. God gives liberally. Go to Him. Second of all, negatively, he does not upbraid. What does that mean? This word is given to give us assurance, encouragement. At times you might ask another person for something or for advice, and they'll scold. They'll scold you. They'll say, "You should know better. Why are you asking me again?" Or they'll say, "Now you owe me. I've helped you out." God doesn't do that. God gives us as often as we ask Him, as often as we look to Him. Boys and girls, at times you might look to your parents and ask, "Help me out with this problem. Do this." And they're tired and they say, "You figure it out on your own." God doesn't do that. He doesn't give wisdom grudgingly. But He gives His grace and His Holy Spirit to those who sincerely and continuously ask Him. Wisdom. Wisdom is given to us so that we may be patient in our trials. That as Christians, as we're walking that narrow way that leads to heaven, we don't give up. We don't despair. But on our knees, we bend down, we say, "Lord, help me. Give me wisdom so that I can apply what Thou dost say in Thy Word to my walk here in this life." And the promise? It shall be given to him. Do you see that in the verse? Verse 5? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given to him. What a promise. Act on that promise. Bend your knees every morning. Ask the Lord. "Lord, today, as I'm confronted by many temptations, as my way is difficult in this world, give me wisdom." Amen.